G'day race fans, Oscar Piastri getting it done, extending his lead over Lando Norris. Not the way we really want to see it. We want to see both cars competing on track. Mick, what did you make of it all? There was plenty going on. We've got to talk about Ferrari, double DNF. I don't know if it gets much worse than that. Isaac Hadjar, new face on the podium. Pretty stoked with that one. And, you know, we've got a lot of angry people out there regarding Carlos Sainz's penalty. Mate, plenty to talk about.
Massive momentum shift now for Oscar. Ferrari, yeah, doesn't get much worse, especially with Charles. I think wrong place, wrong time. Bit of a clumsy mistake from Lewis, but that's what can happen in those sort of conditions. Great to see Isaac get a reward for all his hard work.
And just a quick shout out as well, Ollie Bearman, I think it was his career best P6 finish as well. We'll get stuck into it with McLaren. This battle is going to go down to the wire. There's a lot of people out there right now on social media saying it's all over. Mate, 9 rounds left. We've seen Lando bounce back. I expect him to bounce back. It's not going to be easy for Oscar. I was stoked to see him win, but I don't want to see this championship decided by mechanical problems.
None of these drivers can afford a DNF and then the other driver go on and win. And that's exactly what happened. In terms of Lando, like you said, he's going to need to bounce back, but he's going to need to bounce back 9 races in a row. Like, this is it now. We're going to see what he's made of. For Oscar, massive, massive momentum shift now. All the momentum's with him. Now he's got a sizable advantage. Championship mode now. Now you start to think championship and you drive like you're protecting that championship lead because it's massive. It is. In the scheme of things, like, it's going to be hard work for Lando, but it's not over until the fat lady sings, that is for sure, and anything can happen with 9 races to go.
The weekend started off brilliantly for Lando Norris. He was quickest over practice. The Astri tends to build nicely into the weekend, and he did exactly that. Got it all, pole, fastest lap, all laps led. He looked like he was in control the whole time, even with Lando, you know, just 1 or 2 seconds behind him. It would have been an interesting fight if Lando was still in the hunt with just a few laps to go.
I don't think Lando had enough to challenge Oscar. Because we saw from the start, Oscar got the start, moved across, covered his line. And then even after the safety car restarts, I think by one lap, Oscar was literally able to pull out of DRS range and just had him covered. I don't think Lando would have had enough. On Lando's side, the move he made on Max, I thought was a statement move. Like, he needed to get that done if he was going to be in a chance with winning the race. He was up for it. Unfortunately, in the end, though, his car wasn't. So I think McLaren have said it was something to do with the chassis side, so I don't think it was an engine issue. We weren't sure at the time. We sort of thought maybe an engine problem, so they'll need to look into that. I think Lando is... we're going to see what he's made of now. Everyone's talking, is he mentally strong enough? Well, I think we're about to find out.
Yeah, it was pretty hard seeing him just sitting on the grass there on his backside and his... head down, so, but the natural reaction.
It's not the way we want to see the championship decided. Not that it's decided yet, by no means. As a racing fan, and, you know, you want a close championship battle, that's not what we want to see.
Oscar Piastri moves on to 9 career wins, so he is now level with his manager, Mark Webber. Yeah. Nice and level, and, I think there's going to be a few more wins coming up.
Yeah, and you have to give Oscar raps to the start of the weekend. He looked shot compared to Lando. Lando looked like it was going to be a Lando clean sweep for the whole weekend. But and when it mattered, once again, he delivers.
Was a big race next week in Monza. Lando can't have, or he just can't afford any mistakes. He's got to be on his game and he needs to start peeling back those points, of course. Now, Ferrari, I mean, practice sessions, they just looked off the pace. We had a bit of a disagreement in the preview. You thought Ferrari was going to be pretty good here. I thought they would struggle just due to those quick changes of direction. Both were in Q3, which for Lewis was a step in the right direction. And he looked more competitive against Leclerc as well. Lewis, Hamilton, you don't often see him make mistakes. And yes, people are going to jump on his back now that he's old and he's making these type of mistakes. It will be a tough pill to swallow for Lewis because he was looking forward to a good weekend.
They rolled out of the truck on Friday and they were cooked. I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. But they managed to turn it around, got a semi-decent qualifying. They probably would have felt like they could have been a little bit higher. Their race pace was a lot stronger than where they were actually sitting in the race. Like, they were definitely a little bit quicker than the cars around them. But the problem is the pace advantage that they had wasn't enough to get them ahead of those cars that they were with. Like, you look at Hadjar, Russell, you know, those guys and Lewis, all four of them were nearly identical in pace. You couldn't really make much of a move. We saw Leclerc's move on Russell, but that was the type of move he needed to make to get past. Otherwise, he was never going to get past.
Yeah, it was a nice aggressive one, that one.
Yeah.
She was tight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, technically, he was off the track, then on the track. Yeah, it was a bit of a NASCAR-style pass. Good viewing, but I think on Lewis's side, look, yeah, easy mistake to make. He just came in, had a whole bunch of understeer, a little bit of drizzle beforehand, so it makes that white line and that painted bit a little bit slippery. Just understeered. Once he got up over that white line, man, he got the snap, tried to correct it, but just couldn't arrest the speed, and he just kept pushing towards the wall, and that was him. He had a couple of spins too in practice.
Practice, yeah.
So third time lucky, he hit the wall. But in terms of pace, it's probably one of his better weekends, like in terms of pace with his teammate.
Yeah.
Like, they were very, very close all weekend and definitely looked a lot more comfortable. And Charles, man, yeah, just wrong place, wrong time, got missiled.
Yeah, but he ended up with the best seat in the house, didn't he?
Yeah.
What viewing that was from that position. And he looked pretty comfortable up there, just chilling out and watching how it all went. He'll be disappointed because, yeah, he was pretty racy. Yeah. Next week's going to be massive. Big one.
And Lewis, too, is on the back foot. He's got a five-place grid penalty.
Well, he was speeding. It was to do with the double wave yellows, wasn't it?
Yeah, on the recon laps. So he didn't slow down. You're going to probably Ferrari's biggest race of the year. And you're already on the back foot, so.
But surely the momentum must swing the other way. You know, like they always say, you know, when you're close to the bottom or on the bottom, there's only one way to go, and that is up. But, yeah, it's not looking
great.
Well,
I mean, if you want to take something out of it, that Ferrari will be strong in Monza. Purely straight line speed advantage that they have. They're definitely one of the quickest in a straight line.
This week in Monza will be massive, obviously in front of the Tifosi, the Italian media, and all the hoopla that comes with that. Now, Red Bull, Max, I think he got the most out of the car for the weekend. He qualified in P3, ended up with P2. That move at the start was pretty ballsy. He has nothing to lose now.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't factor in the championship. Technically, yes, he does. There's still a possibility. But I think in his mind, it's all finished. So I think we'll see... We'll see some pretty epic race starts from Max to try and gain advantage at the start. But I'm sure he doesn't want to also, you know, mess up with Oscar or Lando and, you know, cause problems within that little championship battle as well. Now, Yuki, on the other hand, finally back in the points, P9. Good result, but you're sort of taking advantage of some of those top runners being knocked out. Where I was disappointed for Yuki was not being able to get into Q3 yet again.
Yeah.
But points on the table. So it must give him a little bit of confidence going forward.
Yeah. We know that cars is good enough, at least for Q3, even if you are only 10th. But you didn't do that. But I thought, on the race on Sunday, he did all right. He was just hanging around that 12th, 13th, 14th.
Look, it's a tough track to pass on. So
he had the throttle issue too, didn't he?
That's a good point. So he
managed to drive around that, keep some of those other cars behind him, crawled his way sort of up through the field a little bit. And I thought, Sunday was definitely better than Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But in saying that, not getting into Q3, super tight.
Massive fail. Yeah.
It is a massive fail, but super tight. But if you look at pace in relation to Max... probably is one of his better results.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
Because we saw last time out he was closer. And, you know, perhaps maybe this is his impetus. Get some points on the board. But, yeah, I think he really needs to be nailing those Q3s. 100%. And, you know, and we know how tight it is. So if you want to be getting points, you want to be qualifying in that top 10.
Yeah. It's just qualifying. That thing's probably so edgy and you just have no confidence. He's shown, I think, a lot more growth in that Red Bull car.
Yeah.
And we saw that this weekend.
Well, I think Laurent Mekies, I think he's, you know, so much more comfortable under his leadership. Still a lot to prove for.
Oh, man, he's still under massive pressure. Like, he's still driving for his career.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Mercedes, if you listen to social media, Kimi Antonelli is too young, too inexperienced, not good enough, should have been placed in a customer team, which I can understand that part. He's going through a bit of a rough trot, but is he going to be accepted by the Italians? Come on, Monza, after doing that to Charles Leclerc.
Where's your alliance with Ferrari? Or the Italian driver. Like, that's a, you know, that's a tough one. But I think...
Look, I think those hard-out Tifosi fans, they want to see Antonelli do well regardless. It's an easy mistake to make. And like you mentioned before, it is a track where it's hard to pass. So you're going to go for those real slim 50-50s. And we saw a lot of it.
Well, and he needed to, right?
Yeah.
He needed to because he needed to make that undercut work against Charles because that was the only way he was going to get past. So he pitted... I think a lap earlier, tried to make the undercut, and he had the momentum. The only thing I saw was, did you notice like three or four laps earlier, Alonso's move, I think it was on Hülkenberg. So he, in the same turn three, right, he cut down low, but Alonso clearly knew he was never going to make the pass. He just went down there to get in the mirrors, I guess you would call it, right?
Yeah, or maybe just give it a bit of a test to see how it would run, maybe if he could set it up for a...
Yeah, and that's the difference, right? That's the experience difference.
Yeah.
Like with Alonso and then Kimi had the momentum. And again, it was always going to be 50-50. He had to have a crack. The only thing is he just went in there way too hot. Like he just carried way too much speed. But he needed to have a crack. I think he probably could have been a little bit more patient, but he needed to have a go. That was probably not the corner to have the go though.
If you look at the weekend as a whole for Kimi Antonelli, he would have been disappointed with not being able to make a Q3 appearance. He qualified 11th, so it was super close, very fine margins. But he was having a pretty decent race. Up until that point, Kimi was doing pretty well. And then, just went for that 50-50 move and it just didn't work in his favor. George Russell, again, it was one of those races where you feel he doesn't do much. But he's there. He was there with a sniff for a podium. Qualified well. Q3 appearance. Very consistent, of course, for Mr. Saturday. P5 starting position. And then with a decent P4 in the end. When are they going to make the contract official?
Yeah, well.
Come on, Toto. Get it out there.
This is the $30 million question, isn't it? George, that where he finished was about as good as that car was. The incident he had with... Charles, he got the damage, so then that put him on the back foot as well. But did really well still to drag that car to fourth.
So going back to Kimi, he picked up two penalties, didn't he? He got the 10 seconds for the collision, and then was it 5 seconds for speeding in the pit lane?
So 15 like seconds that. All up, yep.
Yeah, well, let's go on to Racing Bulls, because we said that they needed a double points finish this weekend, and to be honest... They were on for probably their best, most successful weekend in a very, very, very long time. It was a great qualifying effort from both of them. Liam Lawson qualified 8th. Great qualifying for Isaac Hadjar with the P4. Well, let's start off with Liam Lawson first. Carlos Sainz, Liam Lawson, turn 1. What did you make of it? Was it a penalty, racing incident? I personally think it was a racing incident. I don't think Carlos should have got a 10-second penalty. Yep. But it was, again, another one of those, it was quite desperate. Yep. But this is what we get at these type of tracks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a racing incident. I think the 10-second penalty was too harsh.
And 2 points as well on the super license.
Yeah. Yeah,
which like is the next level of like harshness, which I thought was
like it's ridiculous. Lawson, he did an interview which he came straight into the media pen, and he was quite heated, man. He was like, look, it's not the way I want to go racing, but by the letter of the law, and he goes, you know, which, you know, we may or may not agree with, by the letter of the law, I did nothing wrong. So if you got a penalty, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
But it was a racing incident. Like, come on, yeah, man.
I mean, normally drivers get a bit of leeway on the first lap of the race. And we got to remember that was technically the first lap of the safety car and then going green. So I thought there would have been a little bit more leeway there. I agree with Liam, like, he didn't do anything wrong. For Carlos, again, it was a bit of a 50-50 move, but this 10-second penalty and 2 points on the super license was just very much over the top. It ruined both of their races. Liam was able to get back up into P12, but outside of the points, so they'll be both disappointed because they were running at that point in time, I think it was P6, P7. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it was up there. Isaac Hadjar, though, solid. You know, a lot of pressure, like, being up there. And he held his own, and he had a bit of pressure through a few phases of the race.
Again, mental toughness. He's had a couple of bad weekends compared to his teammate. Comes back. And he missed most of the FP2 as well. Just held his own, man. Did what he needed to do. Got off the line. Withstood the pressure from Charles and George. Couple of safety car restarts. When you look at what Yuki's doing, he just did what Yuki should be doing.
Performances like that from Hadjar, you know, does that just twist the arm of the heads of Red Bull to make a change?
Well, I mean, you'd have to say throughout the whole season he's outperformed.
Yeah.
Yuki, right? Yeah. Apart from Max, he would have to be the second best Red Bull driver at the moment.
Yeah. Look, hopefully they just keep him where he is and just let him finish off the year. I still think it's going to be a very close battle between him and Lawson going into Abu Dhabi, and that'll be quite fascinating to watch because there's most likely a seat opening up there, and, it's got to be one of the two, right? Well, Williams, we're just talking about Carlos Sainz and his coming together with Liam Lawson, which we thought was a bit unfortunate, or at least harsh, the penalty that was associated with it. He was pretty dirty on the radio. He was not a happy, happy chappy. Albon, though, look, did the job, right? I mean, when you look at Williams overall for their weekend, it was a bit of a struggle. Sainz just sneaking through into Q3, qualifying 10th.
Yeah.
And Albon qualifying further back in 15th. Top 10 finish for Albon, so he's just picking up more points. He's extended his lead over Carlos Sainz. And this is where I kind of feel Carlos, I mean, it was a bit of a 50-50 move into turn one with Lawson. Do you think he's getting a little desperate that now Albon's starting to pull a bigger gap within the little team rivalry there?
He's got to be getting frustrated.
Like, he has had a lot of bad luck. Swung his way.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think he's completely gelled with that car yet either. He's not 100% comfortable there. But he did, like you said, did make it into Q3. I think that was his first Q3 appearance in like 7 races. That was a good result in that sense. But yeah, once he had the incident with Lawson, that was it. That was his race done. But Albon, man, he's carrying that team at the moment, doing a solid job. Like, he had a mega start, right? And I think he jumped from, where did he start? 15th. So he went from 15th to like 10th.
Yeah.
And that basically set up his race. And then a couple of good strategy calls on the pit wall definitely helped him mow through the field and end up with that kind of result. Because I certainly didn't think Williams were going to get that kind of result.
It was good points for Williams because they're holding on to that P5 spot in the constructors. But when you look at the individual points, I think it's Albon with 64 and Sainz with 16, I think it is. I just don't think we've seen the best of Carlos yet in 2025.
No. Oh, God, no. No, exactly. But for me, Albon, man, is just killing it, man. That's just the best I've seen him drive since he's been in Formula One.
Albon back to Red Bull?
Oh, surely you wouldn't. You wouldn't, man. You wouldn't. Like we said in the preview, man, you see
I think
what James Bowles is building there. And while you're still got the wood over your teammate, especially a teammate of Sainz's caliber, surely you'd stay where you are. Miss Bowers is clearly creating an atmosphere within Williams that team hasn't seen in a very long time. And yeah, we're starting to see, you know, that team heading in the right direction.
Right direction. Agree. Okay, Aston Martin. Well, what a start for Stroll. I mean, we did say about Stroll, you know, Stroll's our potentially a dark horse. He likes, you know, tend to surprise people. Yeah. And then what does he do? Bends it and, well, qualified dead last. So you kind of felt, oh, Stroll, he's checked out for the weekend. Alonso sneaking into Q3 with a P10. But then come race, P7 for Lance Stroll from basically the back of the grid. Ollie Bearman did start from the pit lane, of course. And Fernando in P8. Fernando was getting very spicy throughout the race. He was just stuck behind traffic for most of it, and he wanted the team to do something else. Had to do something different.
Had to.
We've spoken about the importance of double point finishes, because a lot of these mid-teams are so close, but they're never consistent getting those double points. Aston Martin, they've done it. I think they'll walk away very happy from the weekend.
Yeah, I think they actually had a little bit stronger pace than they actually showed. Like, they started off the weekend super, super strong.
Yeah,
Alonso. I thought, here we go. We're looking like hungry again. And then the turn three of doom, Lance Stroll in practice, put her up in the wall there. Had the incident in qualifying, took him out in Q1, but bounced back. And again, inter-team battle, man. Maybe they need to sack Alonso.
Well, yeah, Stroll's back up on top, isn't he? Mate, I'm telling you, I know
he finished ahead of his teammate. What more do you want him to do?
I know I've said this plenty of times. You know, Stroll got that massive jump at the start of the season. I think he was up 14 points to zero or 20 points to zero or something like that. And, you know, Alonso then hits the ground running, starts getting points. And, you know, we were like, okay, from this point forward, that's it. Alonso, he's getting ahead of Stroll and that's it. Well, Stroll is back in the lead. I think he's got a lead of 2 points over Fernando. So, you know,
he started from the back of the grid too, because he had the power unit change.
Yeah. Yep.
And still finished ahead of his teammate. So, I mean, I don't. He's carrying that team at the moment. Well, I don't know what else to say. In terms of points, he's doing the job.
All right, on to Haas. Well, they've done it again. Shocking race last time out, and double points. And again, you know, they surprise us. And well, Ollie Bearman, P6 finish.
They had a shocker in Hungary, and the Haas merry-go-round that is shit 1 week, great the next, continues. They were on the back foot from qualifying, but then good little strategy. Yeah, I mean, they've got to be walking away super stoked compared to how they probably thought they were going to finish when the start of the race came on Sunday.
I love the double points. And for Kick Sauber, not a great weekend for them. Probably expected a little bit more. Hülkenberg, look, he's struggling with qualifying, isn't he? Qualified P17 and Gabriel Bortoleto in P13. Yep. And then come the race, P14 for Nico and a P15 for Gabby. So they'll be hoping that Monza will bring some points. Any thoughts on their performance? Was it expected for you?
They've had 4 or 5 amazing weekends, and now we're expecting an amazing weekend every weekend. Besides, man, like, he's actually out-qualified Hulk.
Mm.
Like, he's leading the qualifying head-to-head.
Yep.
So, I mean, in that respect, you can't do much more. Gabby, man, he had a shocking start. I think he had a clutch issue at the start because he just like almost kicked into anti-stall and then lost the whole chunk of positions. And then I think they tried something with the strategy and it didn't really work out for them. Hulk was just languishing around the back there. I think he tried all 3 compounds and nothing worked for him. So they probably, out of all the teams, took the biggest hit in the constructors this weekend.
Alpine. Well, we almost saw Franco Colapinto pick up his first point of the season. it was a pretty average weekend on the whole for Alpine, wasn't it? But if you look at Colapinto in relation to Gasly,
he looked good this weekend, man. Colapinto, he looked
one of his better weekends, eh?
Yeah, for this year, he looked on it. He looked aggressive. He looked measured.
Yeah.
And on pace, he was the same, if not quicker, than Gasly. If you can do that every weekend, you'll stay in Formula One.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at the qualifying, it was a P16 for Franco and P14 for Pierre. And then, yeah, obviously P11 for Colapinto, just missing out on his first points of the season. And Gasly back in P17. But I think near the end there with Gasly, they went on a bit of a gamble with the strategy, didn't they? So I think it wasn't sort of like the true reading of where it was. But
like we said, they were going to struggle. Like they just haven't been able to perform. But in term, when we looked at the results over the last couple of years at Zandvoort, we thought, well, there's no reason they couldn't score a point or two. But from what we'd seen so far this season, it was they were really going to struggle. But I just think, for me, the biggest thing for Alpine, man, was Colapinto this weekend was
maybe it's a little springboard for Franco over there.
Yeah, he just he looked on all weekend.
Yeah,
he looked aggressive, but he looked measured. You know what I mean? He didn't look out of control.
Yeah, like I can't recall any.
There was no mistakes. He didn't make him. Yeah, he didn't make. He was quiet all weekend, and that's
kind of what he needs to be doing, right?
Right, and this is what, if you do this and you show these kind of performances, there's no reason
he did get grilled over, like, I mean, there was that.
Oh, Briatore slammed him.
Briatore gave him a good roasting. So maybe that's what Franco needed. I don't know.
And I think also, too, maybe being given the rest of the season was probably a massive 100% pressure.
Just having that guarantee.
Yeah, I think that mentally would give him a big boost. Even if you finish 11th in the next 9 races,
I think what a lot of teams would be looking at if they are interested in someone like Colapinto is just staying quiet, staying out of trouble, and just being consistent.
Well, this is what we said, right? Like, everybody on the grid knows how fast he is and how fast he can be, but everyone on the grid is a bit like arm's length because
he's a Colapinto. Little bit of a bit of a liability at the moment.
Yeah, like.
Yeah,
he's going to be quick and he's probably going to give you the odd good result here and there, but he's also going to cost you a lot in damages. And especially in a cost cap era, you can't be afforded to wasting $100 million over a season on crashing your car when you need to develop. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
100%.
That's the rocks and diamonds. Like, I was stoked for him, man. Like, I just thought he looked on it. And in the race, I thought he was matching Gasly's pace. I think they even swapped them over. Because at one point, Colapinto was actually quicker.
Mm.
So, I mean, that's a great way to start the second half.
Yeah, just needs a springboard off it and back it up in Monza. Because if he can't back it up in Monza, then he's sort of back at square one. So,
yeah, this is it.
Yeah,
but I 100%. Think they're going to struggle in Monza, I think. Because that Renault engine's not that great. But we'll talk about that in the preview.
Well, looking at the championship table, look, it's nothing's changed. Two horse race, but that gap now for Piastri, massive. Look, I'm super happy for him because we want him to win, but at the same time, we want to see it happen on track, wheel to wheel, as opposed to one car being mechanically disadvantaged or having a problem. Lando's going to get a new power unit for Monza, isn't he?
Yep.
And
which will be a massive advantage
if you want a new power unit. Monza is the place you want one. So that could be, the tipping point back in Lando's favour because he needs it.
A lot of people have questioned his mental state and his mental toughness, and I think we are about to find out over the next 9 races what sort of character, race driver.
Well,
So.
There's so many points on the table. We've got like 9 race weekends. There's a few sprint route weekends as well. So potentially, what's that? Probably over 250 points maximum that someone can get. Plenty on the table.
Yeah. It's going to be a good test for Oscar to see how he handles it now, because now the pressure is on him. People already think that's it. Championship's over. It's on you now, man. It's yours to lose. So he's got that pressure to deal with. And I think Lando now is the hunter, and it's time to sharpen your arrows, man, because you know, you've got a fair bit of work to do, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
It's not over till the fat lady sings. It's not over until that very last lap in Abu Dhabi, so anything can happen.
Well, if you're listening at home, I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you think this is the actual pivotal point and it is Oscar's, well, he's got one hand on the trophy, or whether you think Lando Norris can fight back. Mick, as always, final thoughts about the weekend.
I want to see what Lando's about now. We're going to see what he's about. I'm stoked for Oscar because gives him a little bit of breathing space. Weekend, I thought it was great. Racing-wise, not so much, but I thought the boys came out to play, man, especially the rookies, man. They came out swinging. There was a lot going on in that race, and it was good to see.
Yeah, I agree. Well, off to Monza, and that should be an exciting one because there's plenty to play for a lot of teams, where the Ferrari can bounce back, Antonelli at his home track, and well, the battle will continue between Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. So, until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
Catch ya.